Chapter 7, verse 22, of the Bhagavad Gita, with your moderator, Dr. Anil Mehta.
In the verse number 22, the teacher continues the same idea.
Sataya shraddhaya yuktah tasya radhannamihate labhate chatatah kaman mayeva vihitan hitan.
Sataya shraddhaya yuktah. Sa again is that individual, whoever that person may be. Taya shraddhaya yuktaha. Yuktaha means endowed with, strengthened with, joined with. So having joined myself, that shraddha, that faith, that desire, that firm wish to possess it, this is taya shraddhaya yuktaha tasya radhanam ihate. Ihate means he wants, ihate he wishes. Aradhanam, that what he desires. So whatever your desire is, and whatever you approach with strong faith, with strong shraddha, with a strong desire, labhate cha tatah kaman, labhate, and that person gets that same desire. How does he get it? Mai eva vihitan hi tan, by me alone. The Lord says, by me alone, vihitan hi tan. Vihitan hi means it is ordained. It is decided that whatever you wish, I am the one who gives it to you. And you know, in this world, we find that people say, I have done so much. I have so much, or I am so powerful, or I have accomplished so much, I have done so much. The best example is the farmer. You know, the farmer, now he says, I worked so hard to plant, you know, this crop is all my work. Say, okay, it's your work? Yep, it's my work. What did you do? He says, with the sweat of my brow, I plowed this land. All right. And what did you do next? Then I planted the seeds. I put the seeds. Okay, then what did you do? Nothing. The farmer, yes, the farmer may have plowed, but nowadays he doesn't even plow with his sweat. In the olden days, at least, they used to have a bull and they used to walk. Now it's the tractor. He just drove the tractor over the field. Took him half a day. And then last year's leftover seeds, he just sprinkled. That's it. And then what else did he do? Nothing. Everything else comes from the Lord. The earth has so much vitality. Earth has so many nutrients, all the wonderful nutrients that cause the seed to grow. Did you produce that? No, I didn't produce it. The rain that fell, you know, did you cause the rain to fall? No, I didn't cause. Without the rain, you wouldn't have had the crop. Not only if there was no rain, if the rain is too little, the crops don't grow. If the rain is too much, the crops don't grow. If the rain comes at the wrong time, the crops don't grow. So did you cause the rain to fall? No, I didn't do that. The sun, you know, the sun that gives the energy. Without the sun's presence, nothing will grow. No crops on earth will grow. Did you create the sun? No, I didn't create the sun. The air, the oxygen in the air that nourishes the plants and that makes the plants grow. Did you produce the oxygen? No, I didn't do that. The moon, you know, in the 15th chapter, there is a very beautiful line. It says, Somaha, the moon, Pushnami. He says, the Lord says, as the moon, Pushnami cha aushadi sarvaha. It is said that all the herbs that are the medicinal herbs that are used in Ayurveda that are helped. He said, the herbs, where do they get their energy? Where do they get their juice? From the moon. It is said, the herbs, when the moon is shining at night, the moon is not a useless piece of satellite, but the moon's cool rays nourish the plants, nourish the herbs and put juice in them. So the juice in the plants, the nutrition, the healing properties come from the moon. So did you create the moon that nourished the plants? No. So he didn't create the earth, he didn't create the air, the sun, the rain, the moon, nothing. All he did was just spend half a day tilling the land with his tractor, threw last year's seed, leftover seeds, and then he said, I have created this whole earth, this whole field, this agriculture is mine, it's my field. I have done so much. And then what does he do? Then he becomes very arrogant. And we find some of these big farmers, what do? They store that grain. You know, when the prices are low, when everybody else is selling, they hang on to it. And then by storing the grains, the prices go up because there is a shortage. And so these big farmers, you know, who have grown a lot of grain, they store it. And then when the prices go up, when there is a shortage, when there is famine and people don't have food, then they say, I have food. And then they sell it at high prices and make a profit. And it's not only in farming, but in any other business. If you look at it, that's what businessmen do, that they create the product thinking it is mine, and then they misuse it, then they cheat others, then they... So the point is that whatever I have done, whatever I have created, one has to remember that my effort is only 2%. 98% of the effort comes from him. And that is true. In the farmer's case, 2% of the effort was his, 98% was the Lord's effort. But he said, this is all mine. Nobody else can touch it. And then he becomes so proud that I am the biggest farmer in the San Joaquin Valley. I have 10,000 acres, 20,000 acres. Again, I'm not trying to, you know, pick on farmers, but just as an example. And that is the same with any other business, any other industry, you know, where I produce, everything comes from him. So he says that whatever direction of your thought, because as we said, your desires decide the direction of your thoughts. And whatever the direction of your thoughts, that is what becomes your obsession. That is what becomes your destiny. And that is what is called as the vasanas. Because it is said that as you think in your mind, there are deep grooves formed. And when the grooves become so deep, then that person, that becomes that person's fate, that becomes that person's destiny. So just as, you know, the Grand Canyon, you know, it started with a river and trickle, and over billions of years, it was a flat land, and now it has become a deep canyon just with that flow of that river. So that is what they're saying, that with that flow of that thoughts in your mind develops these deep grooves. And once that is developed, then that becomes very hard to change. And that is why people say, I am like that. You know, I have been like that for 50 years and I can't change. Yes, you have been like that for 50 years, but you are the one who created your own vasanas. Nobody else created these grooves. So I am the one who created my own destiny. I am the one who created my own vasanas. So if I make a conscious effort to change the direction of my thoughts, to change the direction of my thinking, of my behavior, then with effort it can be done. And we find people, you know, who have been doing things a particular way, they change. And they change their whole life, they change their whole destiny. I think some of you know the story of Valmiki, but I think it's a beautiful example where I may have even mentioned that. He was a criminal. He used to kill people and steal their money. He was called a Ratnakar, that was his name. He was a Daku, he was a criminal. And he used to steal from people. And not only he would steal, but he would kill them so that they would not go and give evidence. And he would hide in the forest. And people who were traders and business people who were going, he would catch them and kill them. And one time there was this saint who was passing by, Naradji, and he caught him and he said, I want your money. And the saint said, I don't have any money, I'm poor. But tell me, why are you doing this? And he said, I'm doing it for my wife and children, to take care of my wife and children. And he said, are you sure? He said, yeah. He said, why don't you go ask your wife and children? Because you know that you are committing a sin. He said, yeah, I'm committing a sin, I'm killing, but at least I'm doing it for my wife and children. He said, okay, go ask your wife and children, will they share in your sin? And he went and he talked to his wife and children. The wife said, look, you know, if you are killing, I want no part of that. If you are earning in the wrong way, you are responsible for your own sins. The children were grown up. They also said, yes, father, if you are killing, we don't want any part of that. We didn't ask you to kill and, you know, do that. And then he immediately realized how wrong he was. And so he went back to the saint and fell at his feet and said, I want to change. And it is said that saint gave him a mantra. He said, just chant the name of the Lord. And he stayed there in that place for years, just sat without moving and just kept on chanting the name of the Lord. And it is said an anthill developed around him. The ants actually made an anthill. That's why he got the name Valmiki, which means anthill. That was the name, because he didn't move for years. And that's what they say when people are in deep meditation, the Lord takes care of them. They don't have to eat, they don't have to drink, they don't have to go anywhere. They just stay in one place and their body is nourished. Their metabolism becomes so slow, then the Lord takes care of their nutrition. And he stayed for years. And when he came up, finally, after years of meditation, when that same saint came back and he saw this anthill and he knew who it was, he moved it and asked him to come out. And that's when he became a great saint. We call him Valmiki, who wrote the Ramayana. And he became a great scholar of Sanskrit. He never had studied a word of Sanskrit, but his Ramayana is full of the highest knowledge. How could he do that? He was a criminal. He was a crook. Never went to school a day in his life. So the point is that when our goal is changed, when our focus is changed, then the Lord helps us. And that is what the point is, that you put the effort and then he supplies the energy, he supplies the strength. This reminds me of another story. This person wanted to win the lottery. So he says, Lord, I must get the lottery. So every Sunday he would go to the church and pray and spend hours thinking about the lottery. I want the lottery. I want the lottery. First week, you know, he opened the number. Didn't win the lottery. Second month, third, I want to win the lottery. I want to win. He never won. It went on for years. Finally, he got frustrated. He said, Lord, I have been asking you for so many years to win the lottery. I still don't win the lottery. So a voice came from heaven. Son, at least buy a ticket. So I will grant you the lottery. At least go out and spend a dollar to buy a ticket. He didn't even want. So that is the point, that we don't put the effort and then we expect the Lord to give us everything. So he says that you put at least 2% of the work, the rest of the 98% I will do. And there are two messages. One is that we have to have a goal in mind, and it has to be a noble goal. It has to be a goal that I have to serve mankind, I have to help others. And through that knowledge and through that service, I have to reach that one reality that is in my own heart, that is the Lord of the entire universe. So that is number one. And number two, as I am progressing, because sometimes even a little bit of spiritual progress, you know, gives us, you know, ego that, oh, I have reached so much, I have accomplished so much. Even to say that I have no ego sometimes, you know, can be a manifestation of ego. Like a person says, I am so humble. The moment you say, I am humble, you have lost it. That's what they say about humility. You know, people say, I am humble. That means you are no longer humble. So the idea is that whatever I have is the gift. So one should have gratitude to the Lord, remember the Lord, always be grateful to him, and put our effort. And then if my effort is proper, if I have put effort in the right direction, if my goal is clear to me, then that goal, he is the one. So they say, as your desires, so your thoughts, as your thoughts, so your actions, and as your actions, so your character, so your behavior. So just as a river, you know, going in a particular direction, if If it is going in a particular, and the water is getting wasted going towards the ocean, you say, I want to dam it and I want to use it to utilize, to help the farms. That water is just going wasted in, like the Sacramento River, just goes to the Pacific Ocean. So they put a dam. But if you just dam the river, then the river will overflow and flood. You dam the river and then you change the direction. Okay, now let's have a canal going to the San Joaquin Valley so that it can nourish all the farms in the Southern Valley. So similarly, the direction of my thoughts are in a particular direction, could be a negative way. So first you say, I'm not going to think negative, you know, but then again, after a while, your mind is like a river, it's the flow of thoughts. You cannot stop the flow of the mind. The mind cannot be stopped, even in meditation. Only for a while you may have that silence, but then the mind again runs. So they say, give the mind a positive direction. Let the mind start thinking positive, start thinking about service, start thinking about love, start thinking about the Lord. That's why chanting the name of the Lord, mantra, is very good. Because chanting the name of the Lord, when it is done with total love and devotion, it brings that the form of the Lord in your heart, it brings the qualities of the Lord, it brings that sweetness, that compassion, that kindness. So turn the direction. Even yesterday we heard, you know, in this yesterday seminar, this professor from Loma Linda, he said, well, some people think me, you know, and he says that is good. You must take care of yourself. But others people say, you, not me, nothing for me, everything for others. Some people want everything for myself. Others say, I don't want anything for myself. I just want to help others, which is good. But neither of one of them should become an obsession. It should become us. That may we all nourish, may we all prosper. So that is what, instead of just me alone, it should be us. So you change the direction of your thoughts. And that's what he said yesterday, that those people who make others happy, themselves become happy. So the way to become happier is to make others happy. And they were talking about humor and jokes and people who try to help others, that is the best way to be happy. The yesterday's seminar was very good, very upbeat. I think those of you who went really enjoyed it. It was very nice. But that is the idea, that your thoughts, which have been only going in one direction, where what is, you know, that they say, here we have a phrase, looking out for number one. That I should only look out for myself. And that is a very famous phrase, you know, looking out for number one. Yeah, you must take care of your own body. You must take care of your needs, but not as that is my whole purpose. But my body is an instrument to serve the Lord. My body is an instrument to realize the Lord. So I take care of my body because I need it to serve the world and to reach the Lord. So that is what they say, instead of only me, change it to us. That may we all, you know, nourish, may we all prosper. In the Upanishad, there is a very famous prayer. It says, Tire rangaihi stushtu vagam sastanubihi vyashema deva hitam yadayuhu. He says, O Lord, may my body be strong, sthire angaihi. May my body be strong, not because I want to become Mr. Universe or I want to, you know, be the strongest boxer and beat everybody. May my body be strong. Sustu vaksastanubihi vyashema deva hitam yadayuhu. So that whatever time I have on this earth, deva hitam, may I serve the Lord. May I make this world a better place. So give me strength and give me health so that I may be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. So that is what he says, that whatever you worship, so you become. Make your goal clear, you know, and decide. And, you know, that's why we find that people who are successful in this world are people who have a strong goal. You know, somebody who wants to win the Olympics, his or her goal is very clear. From the day, 8 years from now, in 2018, I'm going to compete in the Olympics. And from now itself, they start their diet, they start their exercise, 6 hours, 8 hours of practice every day. You know, they give up their friends, they give up their entertainment, they give up all their fun activities. Why? I can't. I don't have time. I have to win the Olympics. And then the Lord then gives them more strength. So the stronger your desires. So they say that is what? Again, when one has a goal, one is ready to sacrifice. A person who is has a physical goal to make himself healthy will sacrifice everything else. But somebody has an emotional goal, then they will give up their physical needs, like a mother loves a child. Now, because she loves her child, and if there's only enough food for one, she will go hungry, but she will feed her child. So because of emotional goal, she is ready to sacrifice physical comforts. Somebody has an intellectual goal. I have a goal to free my country. You know, my country is under the foreign rule. So he will give up people he loves. He will even give up his physical comforts, live in the forest, so he can fight for the freedom of his country. But one who has the spiritual goal, that I want to be spiritually evolved, then for that person, physical comfort is not important. Even the people whom he loves, if that, so be it, if he has to leave. And even he doesn't care for people's praise, people's, you know, so none of these things matter when. And that's what we find in the lives of these saints who were mistreated by the world, who were abused, who were, you know, look at Mirabai, look at Jesus, look at Tukaram, look at these Sikh gurus. They were mistreated by the world, but they had their firm goal that I want to become one with them. So that is what they say, that make your goal firm so that ultimately, no matter what problems come, no matter what obstacle comes, my goal is very clear to me. And when that goal is clear, then the Lord says, I myself give you the strength, give you the energy, give you the enthusiasm, give you the drive, the ambition. I am the one who does that. So the Lord helps those who help themselves. You know, we have heard that God helps those who help themselves. So they say, you put the effort, and then remember that when the result comes, do not say, I am the one who did it. When the result comes, just constantly be grateful to him, constantly remember. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschid Dukha Bhavai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om. Thank you.